Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in today. Welcome to Sign for More Injury Funding Podcast, the podcast for all who want to learn about legal funding and its significance in personal injury, medical malpractice, slip and falls, workplace injuries, and many other types of law practice domains. I'm your host, Laura, founder and CEO of More Injury Funding, the legal funding counselors with passion for law, medicine, legal funding, and all suffering individuals. More Injury Funding is a sponsor, associate, or business partner for this podcast, Academy of Track Accident Attorneys, Sandy Springs Bar Association, Georgia Association for Legals, Atlanta Legal Aid Society, State Bar of Georgia, Georgia Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and Georgia Trial Lawyers Association. In today's episode, by very popular demand of our viewers and listeners, we have our special guest again, Doctor of Neurology, Robert Boschuk. As the medical director for the Concussion Center, Dr. Boschuk utilizes his 35 plus years of board certified clinical expertise to accurately diagnose mild traumatic brain injuries, also known as concussion. While attending Medical College of Georgia, Dr. Boschuk became fascinated with neurology and the multifaceted nature of the brain. And today we'll talk about, we'll go over 10 most common questions about concussion. Well, welcome to Sign for More Injury Funding Podcast, Dr. Boschuk.
Well, thank you very much for having me back.
Absolutely. Can you please review the definition of concussion and how it is different from a mild traumatic brain injury?
Certainly, we can do that. So, a definition of concussion, I think the best way to define it, it is a traumatic brain injury, and it is due to a direct blow to the head, neck, or body, and it results in an impulsive force transmitted to the brain. This initiates a neurotransmitter and metabolic cascade with possible axonal injury, blood flow change, and inflammation affecting the brain. Symptoms and signs may present immediately or evolve over minutes or hours and commonly resolves within days, but may be prolonged. A concussion is also known as a mild traumatic brain injury. There's also a moderate traumatic brain injury and a severe traumatic brain injury. Most traumatic brain injuries actually are concussions or mild traumatic brain injuries. Probably 75% of brain injuries are concussions, and the remaining or the other 25% are moderate to severe traumatic brain injuries. Generally, with concussion, the CAT scan is going to be normal. With moderate to severe traumatic brain injuries, CAT scans are frequently abnormal. Obviously, the moderate to severe traumatic brain injuries are much more severe as compared to a mild traumatic brain injury, also known as an MTBI, also known as a concussion.
Does the person have to hit their head to have a concussion?
So again, I think this is a very important question. We did touch on that just a second ago, but the answer clearly is no. You do not have to hit your head to have a concussion. A concussion can be from a direct blow to the head, but it can easily be from a direct blow to the neck or to the body, and it generally is the result of an acceleration-deceleration injury.
Very interesting. Can you talk to describe the most frequent misinformation about the concussion or myths about concussion?
Well, again, we just mentioned that you don't have to hit your head to have a concussion. You do not have to be knocked out to have a concussion. Actually, 90% of people who have concussions are not knocked out. A CT scan, often we get this when people come into the office that my CT scan did not show that I had a concussion. Well, the CT scan didn't show that you had a skull fracture. It didn't show that you had any bleeding. CAT scans are almost always normal when somebody has a concussion. Another myth about a concussion is that there's no treatment for concussion. There actually is treatment for all aspects of concussion, whether it is the headache after a concussion, sleep issues after a concussion, anxiety, irritability, memory loss, neck problems after a concussion. All of those can be treated. I think the biggest myth after concussion is rest. That clearly is the biggest myth after a concussion, and that one actually does the most harm. You need to get out and exercise. That is actually how you get better after a concussion.
Very good to know. What are the harmful effects of rest after a concussion beyond the first 72 hours? I believe it is 72 hours.
So basically, for the first 48 to 72 hours, you should have what's known as relative rest. So you don't want to be a cocoon. That is definitely something that you don't want to do. So relative rest, you can have dinner with your family. You can get out and take a walk. You can take a phone call. You can do a text. You don't want to do any type of vigorous exercise. But after starting on day three or four, you want to start trying to do more exercise. If you just rest, just stay in bed and don't get out of bed and sit in the dark, that can be very harmful. There is anxiety, expectation, and there's something called the nocebo effect, which is the causation of sickness by the expectation of sickness. So if you stay in bed and you don't get out, it's just going to make you worse. You know, if you're told to stay at home and that a text message is going to damage your brain, that can be very alarming. And that is just not accurate. People need to be assured that they're going to be okay. Rest is going to cause depression. It can cause, if you remove somebody from their normal life, significant psychological effects on every aspect of their life. The other thing is it will cause physical deconditioning. If you just stay in bed for 2 or 3 days, it is going to cause physiological alterations. It's going to cause blood flow abnormalities. And after a concussion, this is going to be a double whammy, because once you have a concussion, the concussion is going to cause blood flow abnormalities. So if you stay in bed, that's going to cause additional blood flow abnormalities. And you need to have proper blood flow to get proper oxygenation to the brain. Another big problem with rest is something I like to call the failure uniform. Just this whole not taking responsibility for the recovery. You know, if you just sit and rest the whole time, it allows you to be the concussion. You take on the concussion. You need to be focused on recovery. You may have had a concussion. It may not have been your fault, but you need to take responsibility. You need to move forward. Moving forward may be difficult. It may be uncomfortable, but that is how you get better.
Good to know. Great tips, everybody. What is the role, doctor, of sleep in concussion recovery?
So sleep is absolutely critical. We could do a whole episode, actually, on sleep. But basically, if you cannot sleep properly, you are not going to heal properly. So sleep, you think of it as a very quiet process, but it's actually a very active process. When you are sleeping, your brain is healing, actually. And what happens after a concussion is that inflammatory pathway does not turn off. And if you're not sleeping, the inflammatory pathway stays on. And something very interesting is every hour of sleep before midnight is worth 2 hours of sleep after midnight. So everybody focuses on the night, but the day is also very important, because that's the regulator. You need to have daytime. You need to have sunlight. The sunlight is what runs your circadian rhythm. And you need to have that daylight so that you can have what's known as sleep pressure. You have something called adenosine that builds up during the day, and that causes what's known as sleep pressure, and that's what causes you to fall asleep. When you're sleeping, it's very active, as I said before. The brain, that is where the brain repairs, it regrows, your growth hormone is released at night. The immune cells are very active at night. That's where detoxification occurs. You eliminate a lot of waste products at night. There's something a lot of people may not have ever heard of. It's called the glymphatic system. And the glymphatic system is the waste system. The waste system in the brain is turned off during the day and is turned off at night. during sleep. And so if you don't sleep, then the waste system is not working properly. And if you can't get rid of waste, it's going to cause brain fog, headaches, memory loss. So it's very important that you get a good night's sleep.
Very interesting, absolutely. Now, why do people have light and sound sensitivity after having a concussion?
So following a concussion, there's something called autonomic nervous system dysfunction. And everybody has an autonomic nervous system. And there are two parts to the autonomic nervous system. There's the sympathetic nervous system, and then there's the parasympathetic nervous system. So the sympathetic nervous system is what's known as fight or flight, and the parasympathetic nervous system is known as rest and digest. So if you are in the woods and you see a bear, that is your sympathetic nervous system. You get scared, you have to decide, are you going to fight or are you going to flee? Your pupils dilate, blood goes to your muscles. You have to decide what's getting ready to happen. And the parasympathetic nervous system is you've had dinner, you're sitting on the couch, you're watching television, and 30, 40 minutes later, you got to go to the bathroom. So the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system are on a teeter-totter. When one is up, the other is down. So basically what happens is after a concussion, you have sympathetic dominance. So if the sympathetic nervous system does not turn off, then when you're sitting there trying to study or read a book, you feel like you're having to run from a bear. And you can't concentrate, you can't think. Your pupils are dilating, which causes light sensitivity. Your hearing is turned up. And so that's why you have what we call photophobia or phonophobia, which is light or sound sensitivity. And it's the result of this excessive sympathetic activity. And so what you have to do, you just can't do anything. You can't do restful activities when you think you're being chased by a bear.
That's pretty fascinating.
Let me just one other thing. Mm-hmm. I'd like to say is migraine medication. A lot of times these people have headaches associated with the light and sound sensitivity, and the migraine medications actually can be very helpful for reducing those symptoms. And anything you do to increase parasympathetic activity, such as mindfulness or breathing exercises, and then something we're going to talk about in just a few minutes, obviously, is the Buffalo Concussion Treadmill or Buffalo Concussion Bike Test. They are that what they do is help correct the autonomic nervous system.
I love it. Is there any type of diet that you would recommend when you see a patient with concussion symptoms?
So diet is also something that we could have an entire episode on as well. But diet absolutely has a big effect on concussion symptoms. And any type of refined sugars, carbohydrates, saturated fats, all of those types of things, they promote inflammation, they promote oxidative stress, and they increase insulin resistance. And basically what happens is the gut lining is very similar to something called the blood-brain barrier. And the blood-brain barrier protects the brain. It only lets in what the brain needs, and it keeps things out. Well, after a trauma, after a concussion, there is leakage of the gut lining and the blood-brain barrier. And this is something called the leaky gut syndrome. And basically what happens is when you have a leaky gut, a lot of proteins that you don't want to get in, they get in and cause an inflammatory response. And now you also have the blood-brain barrier is leaky. That allows these proteins to get in. That causes neuroinflammation. And there's this vicious cycle. The leaky brain causes the leaky gut. The leaky gut causes the leaky brain, and it goes back and forth. And this causes neuroinflammation, And this can be, this is also exacerbated by refined sugars, carbohydrates, and saturated fats. Another big reason for this is omega-6 fats. So you may have heard of omega-3, you may have heard of omega-6. So omega-6 fats are inflammatory. Omega-3 fats are anti-inflammatory. Well, our diet, the American diet, is very high in omega-6 and very low in omega-3. So what you want to try to do is you want to try to increase your omega-3 and reduce your omega-6. Anything that sits on a shelf has got a lot of omega-6 in it. Omega-3 is going to be is going to be fish oils. One thing that you can is something called SMASH, which is salmon, herring, anchovies. I can't remember the other two. Salmon,
mackerel,
herring,
mackerel.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I can't remember the other one.
Snapper.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah. But anything with omega-3 is good for the brain. And the other thing about omega-3 is not only is it anti-inflammatory, but it resolves inflammation. And that's really what you want. So there's a lot of anti-inflammatory medications out there, like ibuprofen, naproxen. Those are anti-inflammatories, but they don't necessarily resolve inflammation, whereas the omega-3s will help not only reduce inflammation, but resolve inflammation. And you actually can do omega-3 and omega-6 blood levels, and we do that here. We check omega-3 and omega-6 blood levels, and I often recommend that people take omega-3.
That's wonderful. A lot of times after concussion, injured people feel dizzy. Is dizziness after concussion due to a problem with inner ear or something else?
So dizziness, there are many reasons for dizziness. And everybody has heard about inner ear, and that certainly is a reason to have dizziness. But it can be due to a lot of other reasons. So one reason is a problem with the ocular motor system. And that's how your eyes move. And this is very commonly injured after a concussion. Probably about 60-70% of people who have a concussion, we find eye movement abnormalities. And so that can be a big cause of dizziness. Another reason for dizziness is it can come from your neck. Your neck, you've got a lot of muscles in the neck. And these muscles contain what are known as proprioceptors. And proprioceptors help connect the neck with the brain, and what they do is they tell the brain where your neck is in space. And so if the brain, if the proprioceptors are damaged, then the brain is getting misinformation about where the head is in space, and that will also cause dizziness. So dizziness can be due to a problem with the inner ear. It can be due to a problem with the eye movements. It can be due to a problem with the proprioceptors and the muscles of your neck. It can also be a result of blood flow abnormalities. So there's a lot of different reasons why a person can have dizziness. And people will describe dizziness as spinning or vertigo, but a lot of times it's more just, I feel off balance, I'm lightheaded, I just don't feel right when I walk. So a lot of people describe it in a lot of different ways, and you have to try to figure out, is this a blood flow abnormality? Is this a problem with the ocular motor system? Is this a problem with the proprioceptors of the neck? Is this a problem with the inner ear? And fortunately, there's tests to figure all of these things out.
That's amazing. So if you ever want to do this test, you know where to come, to the concussion center in Atlanta. And we touched a little bit last time during our last episode on the Buffalo concussion treadmill, but can you tell us, Dr. Bashuk, what is better, the Buffalo concussion treadmill test or the Buffalo concussion bike test? And how, remind us, please, how do they differ from each other?
So basically, they're both equal. One is not better than the other. We do tend to do the treadmill test more. but you can do either. If somebody's a bike person, then we'll have them do the bike. If you have a bike at your house, then obviously we'll do the bike here. If you have a treadmill at your house, we'll do the treadmill here. So it really doesn't matter. There are a couple of minor differences between the treadmill and the bike. The treadmill generally is going to be 20 minutes. The bike is generally going to be 30 minutes. On the treadmill, you increase the incline every minute. And on the bike, you increase resistance every 2 minutes. So you can do either, but both are equally as good.
And let's say if a person does not have access to a treadmill or a stationary bike, can they walk instead or do any other physical activity?
So, yeah, we get this happens several times. You can walk, okay? What you need basically is for you to do this. So we do it here in the office, and then we show you how to do it, and we want you to do it 4 to 5 times a week. All right, and you may end up doing it for several months, whether it's the treadmill or the bike. But some people don't have access to a treadmill or a bike, and so you can walk. The problem with walking is, especially in Atlanta, is weather. So nobody wants to do it when it's cold or raining. Also, we live in Atlanta, and so you have hills. And so really, we don't want hills, because basically what happens is, with hills, the heart rate goes up and the heart rate goes down. With a treadmill, it's controlled. It's consistent. The other problem with walking is you have neighbors. And not that we all want to have good neighbors, but you're going to stop and talk with your neighbor. So what you want to do on the treadmill is you want to do it 20 minutes without stopping. Okay, the bike for 30 minutes without stopping. You don't want the interruptions. You don't want to worry about dogs jumping in front of you or having to run from dogs or anything like that. So clearly it is best doing it inside, controlled with a treadmill or with the bike. And I will say this, the treadmill or the bike, whichever one you do, it helps headaches, dizziness, memory, anxiety, irritability, and sleep issues. It helps about 80 to 85% of the people. It doesn't cure everybody, but it really makes a huge difference in the vast majority of people. And I will tell you that it is an incredibly positive experience. The people who do it are motivated, they are committed. You are in control, because again, we show you how to do it, and then you go home and do it 4 to 5 times a week. If you can do it more, if you can do it 7 times a week, you do even better. You will end up doing it at our office typically 3 to 4 times over a 2 to 3 month period. But 90% of the time, you'll be doing the treadmill test yourself at home or at your gym.
That's beautiful. Dr. Bashir, thank you so much again about talking with me about the uncommon questions about concussion and covering it so well in such a good depth. Before I let you go, I have another fun pop-up question. You ready for that one?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's do it. What's your favorite leisure activity of all? One of them.
So every Saturday, I get my two grandchildren, my wife and I, and we get to keep them overnight, and we bring them back the next day. But that is the greatest day of the week that we have, and we get them every Saturday.
That's so amazing. Now, how old are your grandchildren?
They are 2 and 4.
2 and 4. Boy and girl?
Boy and girl.
That's the best. Oh, my goodness. That's a true blessing. I'm so happy for you.
It is a true blessing. Yes, it is.
Again, that was Dr. Robert Bashuk with the Concussion Center based in Atlanta, Georgia. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much again for watching and listening to our story about the 10 common questions about concussion today. For more tips and tricks on legal funding and personal injury-related topics, follow me, like, and subscribe at More Injury Funding. And it's time for More Injury and Funding podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, and other podcast platforms worldwide. Also follow me on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Pinterest, YouTube, Google Business Profile, and my website at moreinjuryfunding.com. That's with two L's. I can't wait to see you and listen to you again, my dear listeners and viewers, at my next upcoming episode. And tune in for our next guest soon. Until then, be well.